You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
David Goss is in my house. I will not let him sit on the furniture.
No.
He's sitting on the floor right now. Yeah. He doesn't get to have a chair anymore.
That's what I'm willing to do.
Hat trick for Deuce. Two hat tricks in four games.
Are you watching the games? Are you just looking at the stats?
Hodgepodge.
Yeah, there's a Mod Podge. Whole Mod Podge of rumors.
This is a transfer Mod Podge.
It is an ungodly mess.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what I want to say.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on MLSsoccer.com and SiriusXMFC Channel 85. I am Andrew Wiebe. With me in what we're calling the green room is David Goss. Out in the octagon is Matt the Armchair Analyst Doyle. And this is the beginning, folks, the very beginning of the Extra Time Radio extravaganza times two, I guess, because we've already done one this year. Opening day, Friday, March 3rd. Portland Timbers hosting Minnesota United FC, 9:30 p.m. on FS1. It all gets started, guys. And, yeah, we're a little bit tired. The lead-up is exhausting, but more than that, I'm just jacked. I'm ready for real games. Preseason doesn't do it for me. Doyle, you've been on a beach for the better part of the last 2 weeks. We didn't know if we were going to get you back. Are you even caught up? How are you feeling?
I feel pretty good. Well, I felt pretty good until I got back, and then Simon was like, write 17 columns a day for the next 2 weeks, and we all have to bow down to Simon. That's just how it goes at MLSsoccer.com.
Doyle, is there any better setting in the world to follow MLS rumors and watch MLS preseason than a beach in Mexico? Because that's clearly what you were doing.
Oh, 100%. I mean, that was my way of unplugging. Was like, all right, I can do this while cooking myself in the sunshine. And not writing columns. I just follow and like troll people on Twitter.
There you go. You just don't have to write about it.
You basically took your life and you just moved it to a resort.
100%. Just shifted it to, you know, to a different part of the continent. I was totally into it.
That's a beautiful thing. I mentioned the extravaganza. Today, it's the Eastern Conference preview. We've got Jesse Marsh of the New York Red Bulls coming up later for you. If you're listening on iTunes, for those of you on Sirius, go subscribe to the show, and you'll get about a half an hour with the Red Bulls boss covering just about everything, including that drama from the off season. So go check that one out.
He also alludes to a little addition to the squad.
Yeah, he said there might be some new faces coming in soon. Tomorrow, Tuesday, subscribe on iTunes or come to MLSsoccer.com because we've got some specials for you that are outside of Sirius. Tuesday is how to follow MLS in 2017. Basically, what you need, the tools at your disposal. We'll talk about MLS Live with Mark McClure. He's our guru on that subject. Ben Bear will jump in here and talk MLS Fantasy. He thinks he's a guru. We'll try to disprove him. John Strong, he's the lead announcer for Fox Sports on MLS, and he's going to join us to talk about the broadcasting side on Wednesday. Peter Walton, the general manager of Pro, will join us, and maybe a special guest. We'll see about that one, to talk referees ahead of 2017. Thursday, your Western Conference preview, and Friday, Matt Doyle in the green room, predictions. And we're going to go weird and wild if we can, and we want your help to do that. So hit us up at Extra Time Radio, Extra Time at MLSsoccer.com with any suggestions. Best hair, most likely to
done that.
I know, that one's not a good one. But most likely to fall down while trying to defend Kakuta Mane. Things nice. Like that. See, that was a better one.
Yeah.
That was a little bit better. Be creative. Hit us up. That's all good stuff. And remember, the season starts on Friday. I said at Portland, Minnesota, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on FS1. Saturday, you've got your MLS Live slate. You've also got a game on Univision. That's LA Dallas. Those are the big dogs out in the Western Conference. That's at 4 p.m. Eastern. Then on Sunday, a triple header. Orlando NYCFC at 5 on ESPN. Atlanta, New York at 7:30 on FS1. And then Vancouver and Philly will follow those on MLS Live. And, of course, if you're playing in Canada, if you're listening in Canada, if you're watching in Canada, all the Canadian teams are on TSN on opening weekend. It's going to be awesome, awesome stuff. Man, I think that's it. I think we're pretty close to being ready to get into the preview here, Eastern Conference. By the way, a lot of GMs and coaches over the offseason have told me they think on the sneaky side, the Eastern Conference is better. Doyle, what do you make of that?
I'm not sure I disagree. I think that if you look at the bottom teams in the East, I think they've come up a little bit. And I don't think that I see significant drop-offs for any of the top teams. You could talk me into NYCFC being a little, you know, significantly worse, or maybe the impact. But I think the Eastern Conference is really good. That said, there's still, I mean, the West still has a lot of really good teams. So we'll see.
That's the beauty of MLS. All of you, every single one of you out there listening, no matter what team you support, should have hope. And I think as we go through this, and because
maybe,
maybe
not Houston fans.
Do not besmirch Albert Elise like this. By the saint of Albert, I will not allow you to say that about the Dynamo. And Wilmer Cabrera also close to sainthood, in my opinion. So
he's got Kubo Torres scoring like a house of fire so far in the preseason. So we'll see. But yeah,
we will see. I mentioned hope. We start in the rules here, if you need them, on the preview side. We did this last year. We start with the team that finished last in the conference, and we go all the way to the team that finished first. That would be the Chicago Fire all the way to the Red Bulls. And then we'll hit Atlanta United because they're a wild card. We don't know where to put them. We get 3 minutes per team. We'll say whatever we want to say. We'll get there. And also, Ben Bear has supplied us with his over-under on points for the season, which he made up, basically, and we will probably rip a whole lot. So let's get started. The Chicago Fire, 10th place last year, 31 points, 7-17-10. Ben Bear's over-under for points is 35.5. That'd be 4.5 points more than they had last year. David Akam was their top goal scorer. Jonathan Campbell was the top minutes guy for this team. The outside of the transaction ledger, not a whole lot. The inside, pretty big here. Dax, Juninho, Nikolic up top. Doyle, I'll let you start this out. The Chicago Fire in 2017 will be what?
They'll go over that 35.5 that Ben gave us. I still think they're
That wouldn't take much, to be honest. That really wouldn't take all that much. Last year was pretty bad, but continue. You don't think they're far away?
No, I think they're a year away. I think that they still have a couple of holes on the back line and need a little bit more experience there, and I question their goalkeeping. But look, they're a better team than they were last year. Are they good enough to get into the playoffs? I don't think so. But maybe Nikolic and Michael Delu up top have a little bit of magic they can make.
That's the huge wild card right here, is whether or not these attacking pieces actually mesh. Because it's all well and good that Nikolic scored Buku goals out in Poland and Eastern Europe and did his thing there. But, you know, there might be a reason why the big five didn't come calling for him, so to speak, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. But that hasn't always proved true in MLS.
Sure.
I mean, Luciano Emilio was a big-time goal scorer in MLS, and he's not a guy who played in any sort of big five. Like, that's just
okay,
one guy.
Yeah, sir. But betting on this?
Didn't Hull come calling, didn't Chicago actually beat out Hull City?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, now I look silly.
Offseason. No, I just think David Akam, we know what he's capable of. I think not having to be the main option all the time is going to make him actually even better. Juninho is one of the top passing midfielders in the league. Dax McCarty, we know his experience, but it looks like he's going to take over even more leadership role that he already had with Red Bull, which I think allows him maybe to expand his game a little bit more at times. So, yeah, there's a few question marks on the back line. Like Doyle said, they're much better than they were last year. I think they might be a playoff team.
I mean,
there are going to be whole games, though, where everything is done in segments, right? Where there's a ton of the ball being held between Dax and Juninho and the fullbacks, and nobody can quite get it to any of the attackers in dangerous spots because they don't have a number 10. They don't have a guy.
Although there are rumors
who can just unlock things
that Olympiakos might be providing them with one.
Oh yeah, who's
quite
that?
Soon. Greek winger, 23, 24 years old. Can't remember a name right now, but he's has over 20 caps.
That mystery Greek winger from Olympiakos. No, I like it. I like it better when we don't know his name. I think that's actually preferable.
Yeah, it makes
in this
us
case.
Sound extremely
it's like a, it's
professional.
It's a mystery. It's just a big mystery out there. Look, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is a playoff team. I think if they do – oh, that's the buzzer. You know what that means. That means we are moving on to the next team. So you don't get any more. I mean, they're a playoff team. That's what I said. What seed they might be, that remains a mystery. Ninth last year, Columbus Crew SC, 36 points, 8-14-12. The Bear over-under here, he says 41.5. Remember, 42 points is about what it takes to make it into the playoff field in this iteration of MLS. Top goal scorer last year, Ola Kamara was 16. Not in a ton of minutes either. Michael Parkhurst was the minutes leader. He is gone off to Atlanta United. Out Parkhurst, Saeed, Steve Clark is gone. In Jonathan Mensah, that DP center back from Ghana. Labis Abubakar, who I think is going to push his way in and might be the third best Lawless in MLS of all time. Mohamed Abu in there to challenge Will Trapp and challenge Tony Chani. I think, guys, that this is a team that's going to have a bounce-back season. I think they knew they needed a center back. They still played pretty soccer last year. They just couldn't defend. They couldn't keep teams off the scoreboard. Justin Miram took a step forward. Ethan Finley took a little bit of a step back. Pipa Higuain was hurt. And I think Ola Kamara is going to win the Golden Boot. I just think this team will be explosive, and they'll figure it out enough on the defensive side to get back to the playoffs. Crew SC fans, maybe an MLS Cup run in your future. That's my take.
Doyle?
Was that the whole 3 minutes, Weeby?
Yeah, might as well. I mean,
Doyle getting salty about
time. If Doyle's
going
to monopolize, then I'm going to come in and do a little bit of that myself. It's all about possession doesn't matter, Doyle. We know that. Raw possession stats don't matter.
I think that Columbus are going to challenge for MLS Cup and the Supporters Shield. I think they're going to have a huge bounce back season. Just about everybody on the team underperformed their expected goals last year significantly, and I don't think that's going to happen again. And I think you hit on it, Weebs. The back line is going to be so much better, and I think goalkeeping is going to be better as well. I think this is a team that could finish somewhere in the mid-50s, maybe even scraping 60 points.
I agree with you guys that I think they're a big bounce back. I wonder right now if Pipa Higuain will be starting if they're in the playoffs. I know he's a great player, but
that's a good point.
On the other side of that hill, there's young talent in this team. I agree with you guys about the back line. Although, even like Laurent Simon took a little while to settle in, I think that's why it's huge that they got Nicolo Nice last year, so he can be maybe a guiding light for these three or four new center backs that they have a part of this team. But it's definitely – last year was an outlier on top of the fact that they're now an improved team.
Yeah, who's going to play goalkeeper? Yeah. The outside backs?
It'll be Zach Steffen. I think Zach Steffen has won the job.
And you think that's an upgrade at his current age and experience?
I think he's a better shot stopper than Steve Clark. I think Steve Clark was a pretty good keeper, and he had good feet. But, the number one job is to keep the ball out of the net, and I think Steffen will be an upgrade there. The other thing is it might not even be Lalas Aboubakar, who's the breakout rookie center back. Crownell, the mm-hmm. homegrown kid from University of Maryland, has been lights out this preseason. So they have some – they have some answers in spots than they did in last year.
Yeah, they do. They have better depth for sure. No doubt about that. Moving on. Orlando City finished eighth last season, 41 points, 9, 11, and 14. Of course, Jason Christ came in and replaced Adrian Heath. The bear over-under here, this is the first time we see it dropping below last season. It's at 39.5. Their top goal scorer last year, Kyle Larin with 14. Larin also with the minutes lead out with Hot Boy Molina, who was their most productive attacking player, in my opinion. Their most dangerous attacking player in their position. In comes Jonathan Spector, Will Johnson, Donny Toya. Kaká apparently is healthy again. Can Christ lead this team back to the playoffs, or back to the playoffs is a misnomer, to the playoffs, Dave? Or is this going to be kind of a year of getting used to his system, figuring out once again who belongs here for the long term? They've had some issues with some of the transfers, the Davis Mateuses of the world, some of these guys that don't really want to leave, but the club doesn't want anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they're a better team defensively because they have Jonathan Spector on that team, but I don't know offensively. I don't know what the midfield looks like. I know Jason Christ told us in person that he likes what he has on that roster, but he's got like 7 central midfielders. We still don't know if Carlos Rivas is a difference maker in MLS. We don't know what position Breck Shea plays. And if he does, whatever he does play, if he's a difference maker. So I think they're an improved team bringing Jonathan Spector in as a center back because they didn't have a good one last year, but they're not a playoff team.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. No playoffs for them. I think 39 points is about right, Doyle. I think that's about right where they'll be.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the under, and I think it's going to be a step backwards in terms of results, but a step forward in terms of creating an identity and building a young core. Look, this is the last year for Kaká. They'll be able to get rid of some of the dead weight contracts, like David Mateos, that they want to get rid of.
Chirino.
Yeah. So, and by the way, it's going to be a 4-3-1-2. So you're going to have Kaká playing as the number 10 with three guys holding behind him, and then Rivas and Larin up top together. I like the potential of that.
Yeah.
I think that can be very, very good. But they don't, if you look at this team, they don't have quite as many answers as elsewhere in the Eastern Conference.
How many goals does Larin get? If we're talking over-under, I'm going to place the over-under at 14 from last
Ooh.
Year.
Okay, right I'll go it. Over. I was going to say he's going to score 15 goals.
Okay, so you went over. Doyle, how many do you think he gets this year? And this is also assuming he's there for the whole season. He's a big part of their core, their future. Yeah. But got to imagine at some point here there's going to be some outside interest that piques him and piques the team.
Yeah, well, I think if you – you know, if you set the over under at 14.5, I will just barely take the over. But like you said, there is going to be outside interest. However, he is a Generation Adidas guy, and there's a lot of incentive monetarily to hold on to Generation Adidas guys through year three. Because once you hold them on to them for 3 years, you get a larger portion of the transfer fee for allocation cash.
No one will ever know what Doyle just
what
said.
Do you
no
get?
One
what
will ever understand
be?
Generation
the other
Adidas.
One I'm still wondering, Kaká, will he ever be that guy in MLS?
New England Revolution.
Okay, sorry. New England Revolution, seventh last year, just outside the playoffs on 42 points, 11, 14, and 9. The bear over-under on points here is 41.5, so he's pecking them right about where they were. They got some new center backs in, Benjamin Angua, Antonio Milner-Dalamea, out. Gershon Coffey, out. Jose Gonçalves. Look, it's all about the back line, I think. They have the attacking pieces. I do wonder what happens up top. Do you play Kamara and Agudelo together? Does just one of those guys get the nod because they have so many talented midfielders?
But I don't know that that's a stress. I don't know that that's
an
issue.
I'm not saying it's a stress. I'm just saying that decision has to be made. And those guys, it's not like they don't have egos.
Well,
it's not like Kai Kamara is sitting back like, everyone else, take the PKs.
Well, I think that is... That part's a little dangerous, Kai Kamara. But I think the other part of it is like, oh, where does Lee Wynn slot in? Where does Kellen Rowe slot in? Where does Fagundes? They've got to fight for their spot every single week. I don't think that makes your team worse.
I mean, we've seen it in the preseason, right? And we saw it down the end, down the stretch last year. Agudelo is going to play at the point of the diamond in a 4-4-2 with Wynn as a second forward and Kamara up top. And they've been doing it, you know, preseason with Agudelo back. They switch spots in really weird ways, and it can be pretty flowing and pretty dangerous. And I think New England's a much better team than last year. As you guys said, somebody really good is going to have to be on the bench. My money is on Diego Fagundes being that guy who ends up being a bench option. The story for this team will be how the new signings work out, the center backs.
Plus
but just
Kouassi.
The fact that they actually have center backs right. This year is a step forward in my estimation.
But it's two center backs plus Kouassi, yeah. Who we didn't see at all last year. He's going to fill in for Kofi, but it shouldn't be like for like. It should be an improvement. So you should have
But he's also coming off that kind of catastrophic injury. So, look, should is – that's a big if when you're talking about MLS foreign signings. Like, a lot of things should happen, but you got to get here, you got to adapt, you got to figure out the travel, and if you're coming off an injury, it's a big question mark. Who will be the leading –
Kofi was really good last year.
I know
he was healthy, by the way.
I know he was. Who will be the leading scorer of this team?
Juan Agudelo. I think it's his year. I understand how they're going to start, how they're going to play, but I think he saw what he's capable of last year, and I think at some point he's going to be the starting forward for this team.
You agree there, Doyle? Is it good? I mean –
I think it'll be Kai this year.
Yeah.
But I think Agudelo is going to have a ridiculous season. Something like, you know, 12 goals and 10 assists playing this hybrid midfield forward spot. It's going to be the Revs are going to be worth watching every week because they're going to do weird stuff with their positioning and it's going
to
be fun.
It sounds like we're taking the over on this Ben Bear 41.5. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Is that universal agreement here?
Yeah.
That means they're probably a playoff team. Revs fans, that's good news for you. We've gone through 10 through 7. We've got 6 through 1. That'd be Philadelphia through the New York Red Bulls, plus Atlanta United coming up. Then the mailbag. And remember, if you're listening on iTunes, Jesse Marsh is coming up later for you as well. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com. Or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
It's yours. Whose world is this? The world is yours. The world is yours.
Back now on Extra Time Radio at MLSsoccer.com and SiriusXMFC Channel 85. It's our Eastern Conference preview. We're going to roll through the
Kostas Fortunis.
Good call there. Who's
got
that?
It? Kostas Fortunis, 24-year-old Greek winger, as everyone knows, slash attacking number 10, currently playing for Olympiacos. His first spell with that team, 30 goals and 70 appearances, over 20 caps for Greece. And he played in Germany a little while with Kaiser Slaughter. I mean, everyone already knows that.
Okay, that was the
that's who I was talking about.
That was the rumor. We're going to link that back with the Chicago Fire. Hey, that I mean, look, sounds good. Kostas Fortunis kind of sounds like a fake
Greek, Greek great name.
But, hey, look, if he arrives, maybe he's a difference maker. We have no time to waste here. Let's jump into the Philadelphia Union. 42 points last year. They were the sixth team in the playoffs, barely snuck in, did it by a goal scored over the New England Revolution, 11-14-9. The Bear over-under, yet another one under here at 40.5 points. Their top goal scorer last year was Pontius with 12. Of course, Keegan Rosenberry played every single minute. Out, Tranquilo Barneta. They lost Noguera during the season in a laundry list here of guys. I'm not going to go over them because we need to talk about this team. What do you make of these? Are they going to go downhill like Ben Bear thinks, Doyle, or is this a team on the rise?
This is a team that has a decent chance of going pretty far downhill compared to last year. Just with the injury to Josh Yarrow, taking a chance on Jay Simpson, who's like a fourth division striker from England. I guess they're just hoping to hit the BWP jackpot, but like that doesn't seem all that likely to pay off. And the big one is, look, as nice an acquisition as Harris Medinjanin is, this team was helpless without Vincent Noguera last year. They were one of the better teams in the league with him. They never figured it out after he left. I think the Union have a chance to end up dropping pretty far in 2017.
Fafa Pico comes in to play on the wing here. Aguchi Anyewu looks like he's earned a starting job in that central defense, which good for him, but also maybe a little bit of a red flag. He hasn't played in years and years and years. And Wijnaldum comes to back up Fabinho at left back, or at least challenge him.
I think outside of Minnesota and Atlanta, I don't think any team has more question marks, especially in the moves they've made outside of besides Philadelphia. I mean, not a single person here is an MLS, has ever played in MLS. So you look at it and you say, oh, you know, even if it's not a massive improvement, you know, does Pico give us a little bit just to add on with what Elsinho and Herbers and Pontius do? You have no idea. With all of this, and I think that's to what Doyle's saying, is they have the potential to go way downhill, but they also have the potential to not. There's just so many question marks in what it is. The one hope I think is in Medunian is that you have at least formationally you can fit back in the way you had with Noguera, where
he's a keystone.
Right.
He's a keystone who control the geometry of the game. But let's look at it this way. Chris Pontius had a career year last year with 12 goals. When's the last time Chris Pontius stayed healthy 2 years in a row?
Well, when was the last time Chris Pontius stayed healthy in 1 year?
That's what I'm saying. So you're going to bank on this happening 2 years in a row? It's a stretch for me. I think the silver lining, if it does go bad, playing time for Derek Jones could end up seeing this guy from week one playing as a number eight. USU-20 has a ton of talent. Just it's kind of like nuclear athleticism like we've seen out of Jermaine Jones.
How about Bedoya? What kind of player will Bedoya be?
Well, if Derek Jones is number eight, that makes Bedoya the number 10.
Oh, and that's all the insight you're going to get on that one because we just hit the clock. Going on to the Montreal Impact, 45 points last year. They finished fifth. They made that run all the way to the Eastern Conference Championship, 11-11-12, so straight up 500. The Bear over under on them is 46.5 points. That's just a tad higher than they had in 2016. Of course, Nacho Piatti was their leading goal scorer. He had 17. He led him in minutes as well. Out goes Didier Drogba, Harry Shipp, and Lucas Ontivero. In Desmalle, who I think is coming in the summer. Chris Duvall at right back. And then this Argentine they picked up recently, but I'm not sure he figures in greatly based on timing and the formation of that midfield. We'll see, though. This team, are they going to be a counter and break team again? I mean, we had Bielo on this show, and he kind of hinted that they want to get away from that. Well, of course you want to get away from that from a messaging standpoint. But as, you know, some have said and we saw in the playoffs, they had an identity. They have a difference maker that thrives in that system. Mateo Moncosu thrives in that system. Why go away from an identity that works for them? I'm just not sure why they would.
Oh, they'll go away from it until June, and then they'll go back to it, and then they'll make another MLS Cup run. That's what all these teams do is, like you said, they say we're going to get away from it, we're going to change this, we're going to change that, and then all of a sudden they look at the standings, and they're not in the playoffs. They go back to it. They feel comfortable, and everyone talks about, wow, this is so genius.
Yeah,
what a
identity that they have. Yes.
Yeah. It's the way they should play. It's the way this team should play, especially to the summer. When you're talking about your biggest acquisition coming in the summer, why change things up now, Doyle? Like, why take that risk?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I mean, I guess the answer would be because what they did down the stretch with Piatti scoring goals left and right and Mancosu scoring goals left and right is probably not repeatable offensively. But more to the point, that defense broke down when they were put under enough pressure. And they haven't upgraded the back line in any spot, really. And I'm not sure
we don't
that
think Chris Duvall is an upgrade on
Kamara.
Kamara,
right,
yeah. I think he is.
Well, I think it's arguable. I think there's a negligible difference, and so far it looks like Kamara is starting.
But Kamara is starting. Ayango's not there yet, so Kamara. They've been playing at left and right.
From my sources on the ground in Montreal,
ooh,
Duvall is thought of as a backup for Kamara.
Wow,
interesting. Well, considering the yellow cards
reporting
Kamara accumulates, is this midfield too old? I mean, Montreal
can't
fans
ask
are,
that question.
They're groaning. They're like, Patrice Bernier
timeless
was incredible in the playoffs, but the playoffs are the end of the season. Like, can he get through another 40 games?
I'm actually not as concerned about that because they're not going to ask him to play 40 games. That's why they just got Adrian Erigui, and that's why they have Callum Malice still.
Good points, good points. Let's go to the fourth team out there.
Here it comes.
You're going to be drinking a lot here, folks. DC United, 46 points last year, 11, 10, and 13. The Bear over-under is at 44.5, so just below there. He thought they overachieved a bit last season. Top goal scorer, Lamar Nagel.
Bear thought they overachieved last year?
I mean, I'm basing that on the, points here. Paddy Mullins had 8, but he played like 1,000 minutes. Taylor Kemp, legend, hashtag legend. 2,700 minutes he led the team out. Sabo and Iguananike and Ian Harks, Doyachim, Guillermo Ortiz out of Costa Rica, Chris Durkin, a homegrown player. Are you with Ben Bear, Doyle, in that you think this team's maybe hit their ceiling a little bit last year? Are you all jacked up? Because we've at alternating times this preseason been very excited about this team.
I think they overperformed in the second half of the season. There's no way they're going to score 3 goals a game again for any 15-game stretch. That said, I do think 44.5 is a little bit low, so I'll take the over on total points. I like the balance on this team. I like the defense. I like that Ben Olsen is moving Nick DeLeon to right back. They have, in my opinion, the league's best goalkeeper. There are a lot of good things happening here. We don't know if Paddy Mullins can do, again, what he did last year. We don't know what happens if Patrick Nyarko or Lloyd Sam, who are both over 30 and injury prone, miss significant amounts of time.
Sebastian Letou. They brought in, another player in Ortiz to fill in those spots. They brought in Harks, so they can move.
Those are different kinds of guys. Well, Letou is kind of a chance creator, but Nyarko and Sam are like apex chance creators from the wing, and that 4-4-2 or 4-1-4-1 doesn't work without that.
Yeah, I agree, but I just think they have more options to move things around this year. I think they're deeper. I think Ian Harks is a great addition to this team. I think
Agreed.
They needed another one of those central midfielders to play in that area. He can move Sarvas around, or he can play in front of Sarvas.
And we haven't talked about Lucian Acosta. I mean, this should be a year in which he takes a step forward. Last year it was stop-start, I thought. He had good moments, but he had a lot of games in which he was a little bit anonymous, especially from that chance creation point of view. And if he can pick up some slack that the wingers
and from
drop.
And from the outside looking at it, the relationship between him and Ben Olsen wasn't always clear.
Yeah.
But in bringing him back for the money they brought him back is saying we want to give you the keys to the team, we want to trust
you. So keys for the central defense. Bobby Boswell looks like he's probably not going to be a day-in, day-out starter next to Birnbaum. You've got Sean Franklin maybe moving inside. What's your bet, Doyle, the two center backs that end up being the ones late in the season that are the starters, or the two that get the most minutes, who will they be? They'll be Birnbaum, I think, and then who?
Birnbaum and Franklin. But it will be a rotation between the three guys you mentioned, and I think Jalen Robinson and Kofi Apare will play some minutes as well. The goal is going to be to have Birnbaum and Franklin fresh down the stretch because they are a better team when Sean Franklin is on the field.
Boom. That's it for DC United. Going to Toronto FC, they just missed out on that first ever MLS Cup. Third place in the East, 53 points, 14-9, and 11. Struggled a little bit at home at times. The Bear over-under here is 2.5 points higher than what they got last year. 55.5, I believe that's also the highest that he put out there for the Eastern Conference. Top goal scorer, you know him well. Sebastian Giovinco, Drew Moore came in, led him in minutes. Will Johnson's out. Victor Vasquez is in to be that center attacking midfielder type. Chris Mavinga is going to be on that three-man center back crew. Brandon Aubrey will be there for depth as well. This team, to me, this is a big season for them in the sense that this is their opportunity to be that quote-unquote super club that I think they've been aiming to be based on the signings, the investment, the stadium, the training facility. This is the year where they go put it all together. And they put it together in the playoffs in large part last year. But to me, Toronto FC has an opportunity to really cement themselves as the club in the Eastern Conference for sure, but maybe even MLS with the stars they have, the stadium they now have. If they don't challenge for the Supporters Shield, I think that's a huge, huge disappointment for this team.
I'm crushing the over. Yeah, at 55.5, I think, is what Ben has. I think this team gets over 60 points. Because you look at what they did down the stretch once their schedule is a little bit more sane. And once they figured out that 3-5-2/5-3-2, and once they had Josie healthy.
Yeah, that was helpful.
This team, to me, this is the number one team in the power rankings to start the season.
I can't disagree with any of that. I think they were the best team at the end of last year, and they improved this year,
which was kind of incredible. We talked about that, right? How'd they fit that in on the cap?
And I'm not saying he'll be a difference maker, but Brandon Aubrey dropped hard in the draft. He was a guy coming in as like a first or second center back that they picked up at the last pick. That's another dude you throw in that rotation because you know what? Drew Moore is not going to play 2,800 minutes this year. It's just probably not going to happen. So they're going to need some pieces. That's my one question mark is if someone gets hurt big on that back line, do they come out of the 3-5-2 at times throughout the regular season? And are they comfortable there? And is that a problem for them on top of you're adding Vasquez? Is it worth it to try and change things up?
But look, their depth now is really, really good with these signings. They've got all these young players, and I'm just going to say the name Chapman so that you can take a sip out there. But Doyle, how does Greg Vanney fit these young guys in? How does he continue to progress them? Because a big part of this club is building from within.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to outplay guys like Vasquez in practice. Otherwise, they're not going to play. This is the era of MLS that we're in right now where we could go buy guys like that or like Mavinga. And if the players coming through the academy want to get on the field, they got to go out there every day and treat it like a job. And they just got to be better.
It's going to be difficult. We'll see. The Vasquez signing is interesting, but I don't think we know too much about how. Look, he was good in Belgium. That's it. That's the buzzer right there. New York City FC, 54 points, 15, 10, and 9. Finished second. Got that bye. Bear over under on them. He's dropping them 5.5, 49.5 points. Top goal scorer, you know him, David Villa. David Villa. I'm ashamed of myself.
Hi, I'm David Villa.
David Villa also led them in minutes on the incoming Sean John, a new goalkeeper for them. Miguel Camargo comes in the midfield. You got Jonathan Lewis out of the draft. Alexander Ring is going to probably take over for Iraola, which is good for them. And then Maximiliano Morales and Rodney Wallace came in recently, and those look like good signings as well. On the outside, you know, Lampard, Iraola, Jason Hernandez, Frederico Bravo, Steven Mendoza. I mean, Josh Saunders, it looks like to me they made improvements in the transfer market, and I heard you say, Doyle, that you thought this was a team that could drop from last year, and I'm wondering why.
Because the only time they were really good was when Frank Lampard was scoring goals. When he was starting and playing 90 minutes, they were, in terms of points per game, one of the best in the league, and when he wasn't, they were not quite roadkill, but they weren't particularly impressive. I understand they brought in Maxi Morales to play that role, but Maxi Morales has never scored goals like that. So I do wonder if they're going to be able to recapture the same kind of attacking magic that they had last season.
I think they got deeper. They weren't last year. I think they improved.
That's a good point.
They improved. They're younger as well, so they're
more athletic. And we heard
issues.
Caleb Porter saying that's a huge part of this league. Being young and being athletic can get you a long way.
So I think when you bring in a guy like Rodney Wallace is an upgrade off of whoever you were bringing off the bench last year. Jonathan Lewis, I think, will give them – he's playing pretty well with the U-20s right now. I think will give them some decent minutes. These aren't guys that I'm saying you're going to rely on.
Right, but you got Kyrie Shelton. You got Jack Harrison still out there.
But I think in the end it comes back to what Doyle said. And Frank Lampard was the spark last year. He's not an option this year. So I think – you probably won't have the depth that you had last year because Morales will play more minutes, Ring will play more minutes, but I don't think you'll have the peaks either where they had these incredible runs where they were putting up five goals and whatnot. It'll be interesting to see how dogmatic Patrick Vieira is with his style after what happened in Toronto.
Yeah, he had a little bit. Look, we like to praise Vieira, and I think he's had a great first season in MLS, and I think it's awesome that he's basically undertaking his first team head coaching education on this side of the pond. But there was a little – he kind of choked it out in the playoffs a little bit. He made some decisions that were a little bit strange, and he paid for them. How does he react to that, and then how does he handle the regular season?
And something you brought up, which is Sean John isn't exactly the keeper that fits his style.
Right.
Which Josh Saunders had issues.
Right. I mean, we talked about it last year, like playing out of the back, and you mentioned the dogmaticness of this. Sean John's a great shot stopper. We know this. He's never been a guy that you turn around and pass the ball back to and say, hey, cut somebody. Hey, deliver a ball on the ground to somebody's feet. Hey, be perfect with your distribution. We'll see how he does in New York City. Good luck to Sean John. Tops in the East, the New York Red Bulls. Remember, Jesse Marsh coming up in just a second. If you're listening on iTunes or MLSsoccer.com, if you're not and you're on Sirius and you like the show, go subscribe. Do us a solid here and get some extra content for yourself as well. 57 points first in the East, 16-9-9 on the season despite that rough start. 53.5, that's the Ben Bear over-under here. He's saying about 3.5 points less on that. Top goal scorer, you know him, BWP, 24 goals. Felipe let him in minutes. Out, Dax, Duvall, Zubar, in. Murillo, Zico Lewis, Aaron Long. I mean, there's not a long list of the in here. They haven't made a ton of moves. Doyle, is that a problem? Should Red Bulls fans be nervous about the fact that this team hasn't gone out and done a whole lot in the transfer market?
I think they should be a little concerned. And Ben put the over-under at 53.5, and I will take the under. That said, it seems
under
at this
53
point,
and a half.
What's that?
You're saying under, so five, at least 5 points less than what they did last year.
Yeah, I think somewhere between 50 and 53 points sounds about right. I don't expect BWP to keep scoring like he's been scoring the last 3 years. Sasha Kljestan's over 30 and will be gone for the Gold Cup. They lost their captain. Like, these are not insignificant things. And if the goal was to win the Supporters' Shield or Champions League, frankly, I would be really, really concerned if I was a Red Bulls fan. But that's not the goal. This team wants to win MLS Cup, and they saw what happened last year. With the Sounders, and I think what they're doing is saving all that room to make a big splash at midseason if they need it.
And two years ago with the Timbers. And so that's the trend that they're watching. While they're going out in the playoffs early in two-legged affairs, they're watching other teams make late runs. I agree with Doyle. I don't think this is a Supporter Shield winning team, but I don't think that's the worry.
Yeah, they got shields. They got two out of three shields. Oop, meh.
Right now what I'm looking at is if Gonzalo Verón's not a difference maker, Bradley Wright Phillips needs to be near goal, because he was near goal for half a second against Vancouver, and he scores a goal. Otherwise, he's dropping deep trying to create, and it's not who he is, and it's their team's not at their best when it's happening. So they need either Verón or Royer to be a real difference maker, and they need to make at least two decent additions in the summer.
Both of those guys
are
complete
question
marks.
You getting on the Derek Etienne hype train?
I'm on the hype train, I'm not saying he's going to carry a team.
He's been conducting the hype train.
Yeah.
He just dab gods his way around the office all the time.
But it's not time to carry the team yet. Like, he already has to put Haiti in a World Cup. Don't make him do both.
Yeah. Okay. The defense, I think, is also a big question mark for them. Really, and Colin getting long in the years here, and we know he's got some tendencies to maybe get cut out of position at times. He got beat on that header by Kendall Waston that allowed Monty to get the goal. Aaron Long, great in USL last year. Will he translate? And then those fullback positions, we saw it against Vancouver.
Where they're okay.
The fullback positions?
Yeah, okay. I think Murillo, I think they think is a good player, and I think Kamar Lawrence is one of the best.
If some injuries happen, though, we might want to watch out there. Both at center back and the outside backs. Finally, Atlanta United FC. We don't have a record for them. We don't have points for them from last year for good reason. They didn't exist on the field. But we do have a Ben Bear over-under on Atlanta United FC, and that is 38.5 points. That would not be good enough for the playoffs. I have no idea whether to take the over or the under.
So he's putting them under Orlando City, but above the Chicago Fire, and basically that's where
so
he's putting them.
Yeah, he's putting them like ninth to sixth somewhere there. I've convinced myself, I've convinced myself of a lot of things, but Joseph Martinez, I've convinced myself, is going to score a lot of goals, despite the fact that his club record doesn't show that he's necessarily been that guy in the past, despite the playing time. Take a stab at this thing, Doyle. What's this team going to look like? What's the result?
I'm going to take the over. I think this team is probably going to be as explosive attacking wise is that 2015 Orlando City team that ended up with 44 points. I don't know if they're going to have someone as dominant as Kyle Larin was that year, but they do have a UConn connection, which obviously helps them. I think the real problem with Atlanta is going to be their defense. I know they're going to press high and they're going to really kind of ride that risk reward line. And I don't think they have the guys on the back line who can make that work for them. And they're going to give up a lot of goals. You're going to see a lot of 4-3 games with Atlanta United, which is fine by me. Those are a lot more fun.
Across the back line, Greg Garza, it looks like probably Pires, Parkhurst, and then Mears.
Pires is an unknown, but the other three are guys you like.
Yeah, I mean, but look, Parkhurst led a terrible defense last year in Columbus.
But a terrible team. I don't think that all falls on his shoulders.
No, I think Michael Parkhurst had a lot to do with that defense being pretty bad last year.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but we talked about it. They brought in three center backs, basically, if you include bringing in Nicola Ness late season last year. He did not have the partners to play with. Will Trapp's up and down in his time. That's the one spot I'm worried about with this team, is that holding midfield. I like Julian Gressel. Jeff Laurentowicz knows the league. You bring in a couple guys like McCann and Kratz, who have
Carmona in as well.
Yeah, all right, Carmona, yeah.
I'm actually way less concerned about defensive midfield than I am about the entire back line.
Doyle is locked.
I mean, goalkeeper as well. Alec Kahn looks like the probable starter here. I mean,
until Brad Guzan.
Sure,
comes.
But
that
still,
guy's
but still,
good.
I mean, I know in MLS we want to sit around and say the first half of the season doesn't matter, but you know, Caleb Porter said it. We missed the playoffs these 2 years by 1 and 2 points.
Yeah.
It does matter.
Yeah, I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I agree with exactly what Doyle said. I think they'll feel like Orlando City, which is that late run. That hard push to get
big
to the
crowds,
playoffs.
Exciting times,
and
crazy
be around
games.
That playoff line, always be like, we need two things to fall our way, but continuing to get results, I think the team will come together in August and September.
I'm just very interested to see what Tata Martino does, and I really want to see what's up with that fan base. Remember, we had an interview. There's the buzzer. We had an interview with Andrea Bustamante, who's the outreach coordinator for Terminus Legion. Supporters special from last week. Go check that one out. We're going to go to break here. If you're listening on iTunes or MLSsoccer.com, you're going to get Jesse Marsh, the head coach of the New York Red Bulls. If you're on Sirius, go subscribe. Otherwise, we'll see you in the mailbag.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@MLSsoccer.com or tweet at Extratime Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions. You've been told about this guy right here. He's gonna rule the world. Yeah, that is where I'm gonna be. Because I wanna be. No, I don't wanna sit still. Look
back now on Extra Time Radio. Andrew Wiebe, David Goss, Matt, the armchair analyst, out in the octagon. This is day one of the ETR extravaganza ahead of opening weekend. Remember the first game on Friday, Portland Timbers, Minnesota United, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on FS1. All the coverage, where else? MLSsoccer.com. Tomorrow we'll be back with a special, how to follow MLS in 2017. MLS Live, MLS Fantasy, MLS Broadcasting, it's all there. Then Wednesday, a referee special with Peter Walton. Back at it Thursday with our Western Conference preview. And Friday, what else but predictions? Tune in for all of it. Make sure you subscribe to ETR on iTunes or head over to MLSsoccer.com for all the information. Another reminder here, MLS Live, just $79.99 for the season. That's like 20 cents per game. That's basically hundreds of soccer games that you're paying, you know, like two dimes for. It's a pretty good deal. The whole season, I'm all about it. We'll give you our MLS Live teams tomorrow on Tuesday if you listen to that stuff. Let's jump into the mailbag here.
Let's go to hot takes.
Ooh,
Bearded Jack sends
quick.
In a list of hot takes because you always got to start with hot
takes.
Yeah,
that's how we like our hot takes.
So here's
list
his
form.
Eastern Conference hot takes. We look forward to his Western Conference later in the week. Send us also any categories you want us to talk about on Friday. Atlanta United, do not make the playoffs due to bad road record. Chicago Fire.
Hold on. Is that hot of a take that Atlanta will make?
It's about to get hotter. That's why I skipped over. Matt Polster beats out either Dax or Juninho for a starting position at some point this season. Doyle, you're a Matt Polster fan.
Too,
likelihood?
Too hot.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
How about this one? Columbus Crew change up the formation and it's successful.
Well, they've been toying with a 3-6-1 in the preseason, and they definitely have enough center backs and a bunch of central midfielders now. This is their in case Federico Higuain suddenly gets completely old and ineffective formation. So that's actually a decent shout.
How about NYCFC? Sean Okoli turns a few heads as NYCFC wins U.S. Open Cup.
Okay, the Open Cup part, that's where I'm buying onto it. When it started, I was like, hold on. Sean Okoye, I know he killed USL last year, but I don't think he's going to see many
MLS minutes. You don't think he earns a starting spot?
No.
You don't think he starts over David Villa?
I just don't know if this team actually –
He'd start over David Villa.
Yeah, he would. David Villa would – David Villa would have no chance against Sean Okoye. I just don't know. The question on U.S. Open Cup is, will this team prioritize it?
Yeah.
And they have some tough competition locally to get past to even get into the later rounds. So I think that one's maybe a little bit too hot.
How about this one? Orlando City. First MLS team to sell out every single home game. I think
that's pretty likely.
That
definitely has happened.
Oh. That's happened before like a million times.
Yeah. Well, got to work on those hot dicks.
How about this
one? I think the Timbers have sold out every home game for 7 years.
Timbers fans. I'm pretty sure he is a Timbers fan. Let's finish with this one. Bedoya makes a best 11, dare I say, an MVP candidate.
Too hot.
That's pretty hot, too.
That's
super hot. How's he going to push into that? How's he going to push into that unless he really produces like goals and assists at a pretty alarming rate? Because if you think about the players that he's competing with at that position, and if we're saying, as Doyle did, that it's kind of like number 10, number 8, I mean, you're talking about some of the best players, best paid players, best pedigreed players, most hyped players in the league. I mean, that is a crowded group. We're talking Piatti's, Giovinco's, Diego Valeri's, who we'll talk about in the Western Conference preview.
Actually, we're going to talk about him right here. Oscar Gonzalez throws out his takes. He says for MVP, Valeri, Golden Boot, Kevin Molino, and for a comeback player, he just puts the entire Chicago Fire.
I mean, he picked a midfielder to win the Golden Boot?
Yeah, that was
Weeby's on board, so don't come out anyway.
I just don't want to denigrate Hot Boy Molino on this show. You know how that works.
I think Molino has a chance to have a real breakout year, but I don't think there's less than a 1% chance that he'll win the Golden Boot.
Is this a breakout year if he had 11 goals and 8 assists last year? If he goes like 15-15,
it wasn't his team though. You know, like this Minnesota team is his team. If he leads them to something good, he has a chance to make best 11.
Okay, Russell Westbrook, calm down over there. Here's a question for you guys. Luis from downtown asks, is Columbus the worst team in the conference? I'm pretty sure you're both going
to
say no.
Yeah, we answered that. I mean, I think they're I'm going to go back to Oscar. MVP for Valeri, is that realistic? Because I think it could be.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he was a top 5 candidate for me last year, but I don't know that he'll produce the kinds of numbers that, I expect to see from Giovinco, quite frankly. I expect Giovinco to win it again.
Well, Ian Lang says that Giovinco will score 30 goals this year.
Ooh.
I'm going easy under on that one. I mean, like the thing is, we're all kind of sitting there saying, I don't know, maybe.
If he's healthy, and Vasquez adds to the creativity of that team.
I mean,
happen, but like, yeah, there's a chance with this one.
Wait, hold on. How would he do it? You're sitting around. Let's break the numbers down a little bit. Let's say he takes the PKs. So let's say he gets
and free kicks.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to do. He gets 4 PKs throughout the year, and then let's say he scores 6 free kicks. Because that, I mean,
that's a lot.
I know it's a lot, but it's not that crazy. Like it's a little bit crazy, but it's not that crazy. And then he has to just pick up. All he has to do is pick up 20 from open play. That's it. He just got to get 20.
My thing is, I think if healthy, and this is a huge if, there's a chance Josie outscores him, based on the way he played when he came back last year.
I read a column by a certain Andrew Wiebe saying that Josie is actually more of a favorite for the Golden Boot than Giovinco is.
I didn't say that. So I said Josie has to get through the top 3, which is BWB.
You know what would improve?
Thanks for the plug, Doug.
You know what
would
improve the quality of the show if I ever read your articles? Last one. Dax bags a brace against the Red Bulls. Do you guys think Dax McCarty scores against the Red Bulls this season?
Yes.
I think there's 1,000% chance. That's been the story of the Metro Stars from day one. The guys they trade away always come back and kill them. Two headers off of set pieces.
So we got.
Oh yeah. Okay, hold on. I want to stay on that really quickly. The storylines like that. I mean, what other ones are we looking at this year in the Eastern Conference? Like Dax returns to the Red Bulls. Are there any others?
Montreal returning to Toronto. Whenever that happens, I think that's a big one. And the Red Bulls playing against Montreal again. Like, can they get their hands on Piatti in any way? Can they just control him at all? I think those are big ones.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some of those, like, petty ones. Because the Dax New York Red Bulls one is a
MLS
petty
isn't
one.
A petty enough league like that just yet.
Because you move so much?
What's that?
Because guys move so much?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think we need to grow towards that, and that's what I loved about the Dax trade, is that like there's legit bad blood, and MLS needs so much more of that.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Sebastian Letou could have bad blood with half the league.
He could, but he's Sebastian Letou. He doesn't have bad blood. But what if like that's where the Ali Curtis thing comes in as well? Like, and I've kind of been alluding to this. Like, they haven't made moves. What if, you know, he's not going to come out and talk about it? But what if they swing and miss in the summer?
I mean, it's something to keep an eye on. But to me, it's the bigger stories. It's Atlanta building a team completely differently. It's, you know, Orlando City and Kaká's last hurrah with Orlando City. It's, you know, Greg Berhalter building a team that's designed to score 150 goals. And it's like it's the big stories in the Eastern Conference that kind of have me intrigued this year.
There are some great stories out east. Look, the season starts for the East on Saturday, but the season starts for everybody on Friday night in Portland. Timbers, Minnesota United, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on FS1. Remember to stick with us. We got the ETR Extravaganza coming your way. With that, join us on Tuesday. We'll see you.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.